Can you talk a little bit about the creative process behind your type of storytelling? And has that changed for you over the decades?
Well, I'm sure that it has. I don't make a practice of going back and listening to things I've done, and I very seldom ever go back and read things that I've written. It just doesn't seem like a good idea. But I did for this book. I looked back. I had to do it, really. And what I picked out for this book were pieces of novels, a few monologues, some essays that I felt read well if you read them out loud. To me, reading out loud or speaking out loud is the way in which we test language for truth, really, to see what we really mean. We have to say it out loud. If you sit down and write a novel, you're capable of such self-deception, and you need to check yourself regularly. And you do this by reading out loud what you have written, and you will wind up throwing away about 2/3 of it. So I hope that it's gotten better over the years. You know, the stories that I tell on A Prairie Home Companion, though this book includes much more than that. Pieces I wrote for The New Yorker and essays. A man just sitting by himself and thinking out loud in type.
So how much of a self-editor are you during the process?
I'm a great editor. Well, editing is my strong suit.
Do you do it
I can take anything that anybody has written, and I can reduce that to about 1/3. I just boil. I just put a pot on the stove, and I just boil it until it's become a bouillon, a broth.
And you do that with your own work in process?
Absolutely. All writing is rewriting. You can quote me on that, and you don't have to give me credit.
I want to talk to you about the Writer's Almanac, which we air here on AM 580.
You do?
We do air that every day.
I had no idea you aired that.
We do, and it's...
Well, good for you.
So what do you feel that it's that segment's mission, and do you feel that there's a place in poetry in our daily lives?
That's the whole mission of that little 5-minute almanac. I do, you know, the historic events of the day. You know, today is the birthday of Jason Croft, the host of Here and Now on WIOL. And then I go on and I do a poem after I've warmed up the audience, you know, and they've sort of come to focus. Then I give them a poem. I give them one poem. And I think it's a service. It's a public service. So they walk away from that with something on their mind other than their own worries, you know, and their own self-consciousness and their own anxiety about their children and, you know, and money and lawn care and, you know, the things that people think about.
Let me turn this to another thing, talking about what you've made a lot of your career on, Lake Wobegon and this small-town America, or at least a nostalgic version of that. Is small-town America still important, and does it still resonate in the same way as it did with the new generation of folks?
There still are small towns in America, you see. These are real places. Relevant. I mean, they're relevant to the people who live there. It's important to me because I can write about a small town and write about the lives of a number of people at one time. If I write a story that's set in, let's say, Chicago, set in New York, I'm going to be writing about one person, one person's perception of New York and the life of one person. To write about a small town is a way to write a kind of social fiction. If you look at Faulkner, Faulkner wrote his great novels about a little town in Yawkin-Potawatomi County in Mississippi so that he could write about families, so that he could write about organizations and groups of people. Do you see what I'm saying? So what I'm writing is not sociology. It doesn't have to do with the American small town. It has to do with a small town, Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, where all of these different characters live in a symbiotic relationship with each other. And it's my way of being able to talk about the Krebs Box or the Magandanses or the Tollefsons, the Tollerudes, the Bunsens, any of the families that I talk about. And it's not about me. Does that make sense?
It does. And
thank you.
I'm also wondering about
trying to make sense, you know.
It does make sense.
Because I'm not an authority on American society and small town America. It's not nostalgia, because small towns still exist and people live there. Real people live there. And so they're a part of our culture. How big a part? I don't know. That's up to you. But I just want to write these stories, tell these stories, which I've been doing now for 40 years, about a group of people, not about my story, you know, my perceptions, yet one more fiction about a sensitive hero, you know, who feels misunderstood and so forth, the kind of self-pitying fiction, which has really been dominant in American literature.
So what's next for you? What's next for Garrison Keillor?
Well, we're planning the next season of Prairie Home Companion. Looking forward to that, the 2014-15 season. I'm working on a play which is set in Lake Wobegon, but it's not like the monologue at all. It's kind of a silly play. It's a musical, and it bounces around a lot. I feel really lucky to be working on this. I've been talking to a New York producer about staging it. I hope it all works out. But in the meantime, I love working on this play. I've never written a play before in my life, and it seems to me this is how I want to spend the next 10 years of my life.